Hello, yeah, and welcome to Q&A 30. What was that, Andrew? Did you blow it?
Oh, I did blow it, but
you
that's...
Blew it. Are you recording, though?
I am absolutely recording
hey,
right now.
Hey, welcome to Q&A 30, everybody, starting just about on time, which is... I mean, that's pretty much a miracle, let's face it. Yeah. It's a very, very difficult...
It's a coronavirus miracle.
So, we're here on time. What are we going to do with all this time? Like, we started on time, there's no panic... That's right. I got it all figured out, finally, I think.
No, we could answer questions. I know that's...
Oh, you know. That's a good idea. Let's answer questions. I feel like we kind of got to give credit to the anonymous ethicist, not a serial killer at all, just asking questions, who asked the first one and beat Teresa. I mean, it's a question you've answered before, but maybe we'll give them the credit they deserve. Why don't we, why don't we give updates? How are you doing? I know you definitely had coronavirus, so are you feeling better?
I am feeling much, much better. We just got, as I was telling you earlier today, yesterday, our governor implemented the shelter in place order. Mm. And so, you know, we're on total lockdown now and everybody's a little bit stir crazy, but, abiding by good social distancing. It's tough, for me, 'cause I'm an outgoing person and like, this is driving me crazy. And I miss human beings, but that's me. How are you doing?
They're overrated. No, I miss my kids being able to see other human beings for sure.
Yeah.
We're in week two of total lockdown. So you're two weeks behind, buddy.
Well, and look, it law firms are an essential business.
Yeah.
So I can and I actually do have to drive out to my office. I have done so with a tube of Clorox wipes and you know, I'm holding the mm-hmm. door to do that. But state court communications are mailed.
Well, I was going to say we could make jokes about, you know, lawyers not being essential, but honestly, they really, really are, especially at a time like this when I'm sure people are trying to screw other people over and price gouge, yep. And I'm sure they're, you know, people's rights are being violated. It really is a critical time for lawyers, I imagine.
Yeah, and that's right. And let me add, I mean, this isn't a question, but it might as well be. Although there are no juries right now, and although the courtrooms are closed, federal courts are still proceeding apace, right? Mm. Like, and most of that practice, right, is motions practice. So, you know, I think I made reference to this on the show, or maybe in our fabulous Codenames live stream from last week, which was great. Look for another one of those coming up soon.
Yeah, and by the way, you can still go watch that on the channel. Yeah. Like, subscribe the channel, check that one out. It was a lot of fun. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
It's a good interruption. We had a lot of fun. I mean, we had so much fun that several of us stuck around and played another game after you had to leave. So that's how you know we're having a good
time.
Yeah,
I had to go be a parent like a stooge. Everybody else somehow didn't. I don't know.
Yep. But no, so I might have talked about it then. I have a case right now that has two separate tracks, and one is in DC and one is in Maryland for confusing procedural reasons that like even our listeners do not care about. I promise. But they were in front of two judges with, immensely busy dockets. And so the Maryland case, for example, one of the reasons that I know the judge hadn't even looked at it in just about a year is that I had co-counsel withdraw. Again, there was a technical reason that he was on. And so it was a purely ministerial motion to withdraw as counsel that's been pending since April of 2019 that got granted a week ago. So while not holding trials, judges are trying to catch up on, especially in federal court, are trying to catch up on their backlog of pleadings and pending motions. So, lots of law stuff is actually getting done. And obviously grants and grant protests and, you know, applying for loans and all of those things, I have been working round the clock with my clients on. So, so yeah.
You know, I just realized, I think we've hit a pretty critical juncture because we're 2 weeks in quarantine, and so nobody's haven't had any symptoms of anything. So
that's awesome.
2 weeks since the last time Phoebe was in daycare, I think. So great. That's a good sign. I mean, we could always catch it from, we do have to go to the grocery store and all that, but we're super careful and we do our best, but you never know. But that's cool.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's, the 14 days is pretty solid, you know, like.
Yes. Yeah. As far as I can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hearing a lot of vibrating over there. Someone buy Andrew a phone that has a vibrate off mode, like where you can just turn that off. Cause, legal stuff.
I'm hitting the do not disturb right
final,
now.
Final thing before we get to our first question. What are you drinking? I'm drinking a Stone IPA. It's very, very
nice. The Stone IPA, and they, hilariously, they make one called Stone Delicious. But the regular Stone is really, really good. I am drinking Big Green Cup of Water.
Yeah.
Big Green Cup of Water. It's what lawyers drink.
The official drink of coronavirus victims. Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. No. Well, with that said, I think we'd better give, once again, the person, I feel bad, I'm not trying to rub it in, Teresa, but somebody beat Teresa to it for once. Anonymous ethicist. Let me see if I can go to the question here. Fancy question time. There we go. Anonymous ethicist, not a serial killer at all, just asking questions, asks, who decides which judges see which case? Are there like king judges or administrative judges? Are there steps done to blind the results? Now, you've answered this before, but, you know, it's a question that I'm sure a lot of people either maybe they weren't there for, or that maybe they don't remember. So go ahead.
So it's a great question, and the answer depends on what court you're in. So, for example, if you are in federal court, almost all of those cases are specially assigned, right? And in fact, I say almost. I don't know of any that are not. So sometimes I will read a case caption to you, or you can see them, like when I link federal pleadings in the show notes, any of the stuff that's gone on with Mueller, for example. And that case caption will look like 19-CV-00367-TJS, right? And the 19 means it's filed in 2019. The CV means it's a civil case. The 00376 means it's the 376th civil case that's been filed in 2019. And then the dash TJS will be the initials of the judge to whom it is assigned. That is a randomized process that comes in that is handled typically by, I mean, now I think it's automated the way it's assigned from the CMECF electronic filing system. So federal court, you file your case, it gets a little dashed line and it gets assigned to that judge and it stays with that judge through to completion. This can be really, really important based on the judge that you get, right? Like, because, and it's the system that I prefer, because as you engage in motions practice, the judge will gain familiarity with the case, with the other side. Again, let me give
you
a real life.
So you don't have to keep making the same arguments over and over to new judges?
Yeah. And let me give you a real case that I really have right now. And I can talk about the public aspect of it. I had to move for sanctions because the other side, although they sued my client, their guy kept sending like harassing emails, like directly to my client. And so I wrote to their lawyer and I'm like, dude, you know, just have your guy, like, if he's got something to say about this case, you sued us, it should go through lawyers, have it come to me. And his lawyer was like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, hey, he could just send it, like, it's free country. He can send out what he, and I'm like, that's not the way this works. And so I had to prepare a motion for sanctions to the court and like attach dozens of examples of like harassing emails that he was sending out, including the one, and I'm not making this up, I was kind of proud of this, including the one making fun of my sanctions email, right? Like, he sent, I'm 100% not making this up, he sent out an email to my clients, donors, employees, volunteers, right? Like, I mean, just, you know, scumbag behavior that said, winning is not whining, and quoted from my sanctions motion. So then I, you know, filed that in the reply brief and was like, you know, look, either judge, you're going to impose sanctions here, or this guy's going to continue to, you know, thumb his nose at the court. And that's basically what the court said. They were like, yeah. This does not demonstrate the kind of respect for the judicial process that we like to see in litigation. So I'm really happy that that case is in front of that judge now, right? Like, he now knows something about the litigants.
Remember the time when this guy was a total dick? Yes, of course you do. You were there.
Yeah.
So, but I think what everyone wants to know is how much room for any who's the guy's movies we always do? You know, fucking what's
John Grisham.
Grisham. Yeah. How much room for Grisham like shenanigans is there in this process? So, I think that's what everyone wants.
Yeah, and so in the federal court, none. Right. And there really isn't. And it can be a challenge even to get judges to recuse themselves, even when they're maybe not 100% neutral. Right. You get what you get. You don't get upset in federal court. Right. To borrow the line that they used to use at daycare with Alex all the time. But in state court, it can be very different. Right. So Maryland cases, for example, are not specially assigned. Right. Like there is a motions judge that sits in that particular court for that month. And when you file, like, it goes to that motions judge. And so, you know.
So Frazier's dad could.
Yeah.
Corruptly take on a case. I don't even remember what thing that was. Is that a Matlock or what was that? One of the movies.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah.
I love that guy. He was great.
I love that guy, too. Yeah.
Anyway, I just want to point out, we have the Carl Hungus in the chat. I don't know if
you... Oh.
I don't know how much of a Big Lebowski fan you are, but that's a great record.
I am indeed a Big Lebowski
fan. One of my favorite things,
fan,
so. Too, just, you know, because I do a little armature acting, and it's one of my favorite things, because they're in that movie, that, you know, it's this ridiculous porn that he's seeing, and I love that the dude... what's his name? Bridges just says like Carl Hungus, like totally straight. You know, like an actor would want to be like Carl Hungus, like what? You know, if you're, but he just like reads it as though he's just not even like Carl Hungus. So, I love it. I laugh at it every time.
I laugh at almost everything in that movie, especially the single so best good. Thing. Is after you've seen The Big Lebowski and then you watch the cut for TV that has the overdub is the best. And
is
there
that the
is
one that's, have you ever, this is what happens when you find
what happens
a stranger
when you
in the
find
Alps.
This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps. Yeah, it is so great. That is one of the all-time best cuts. So anyway, back to answering the question.
Oh, I thought you finished. I was going to go
You can game. So you can game the system at the state level. Like, and people will wait to file motions and be like,
ooh.
Oh, man, you know, this judge is terrible. Let's wait another week. And see who the next motions judge is. So there's much more gaming at the state level. Some states do have special assignment of cases. Maryland has a business and technology track that gets you a special assignment, but there's some gaming that can go on. So there you go.
All right. Well, here we go. Next question from the always great questions, especially Stormy Decisis. Some members of Congress slash state government are licensed physicians. A subset of them are acting in ways that actively put others at medical risk or encouraging others to take stupid medical risks. Can those people be sued for malpractice on the grounds that their medical knowledge means they knew better and their status as an elected official establishes a duty of care? Also, just ate a handful of peanut butter because I'm out of bread. Let me handle the peanut butter portion of this question. So I feel this is a tough one because, again, the very serious peanut butter portion, because it turns out Arlo is very allergic to nuts, like a real nut allergy. Sucks. There's still, I guess, a small chance he'll grow out of it. But now, like, the ethics of me eating peanut butter in the house is put into question. I love peanut butter. We used to love to give Phoebe a big spoonful of peanut butter. But if peanut butter touches him, he turns into Elephant Man. So... I can't give her any peanut butter, you know, like, and now I feel bad when I'm eating it. Cause then I'm like, well, I can't give this, you know, Phoebe's like, can I have some? I'm like, no, cause I get to do this, but you can't. It's, you know, it's not any good. I think that was the thrust of Stormy's question, but if there's anything else in the question, that you want to answer about government physicians and can you sue them or something, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So, number one, stock up, like, bread freezes really nicely. So, you know, you could buy an extra loaf of bread on delivery. And
one part of living in the country, growing up in the country, is we found out what does and doesn't freeze, because once a whatever, you know, a month, we'd drive hours to a Costco. And of course we'd do ridiculous, like you see with people buying hoarding stuff now for coronavirus. That was just our Thursday. You know, that was like our regular, you know, amount for the four kids in the family. And we would, my mom would freeze like four loaves of bread and stuff like that, and different milks and stuff, everything. Yep.
It's not that hard to make bread. The very first like big box warehouse, you know, kind of Sam's Club kind of place that opened up here was a place called Pace that opened up at, when I was a kid. And my mom went and bought a pallet of cereal, like 24 boxes of this cereal called Almond Delight. And I ate fucking Almond Delight for breakfast for like a year and a half, until the point where like it just, like, the thought of almonds for breakfast like just makes me sick. So
yeah.
Anyway, back to Stormy's question, which was a clever take on a question that I've probably gotten 100 variants of since Donald Trump has thoroughly mangled the whole coronavirus crisis. And the answer to that is so the answer to the question that I get all the time, I'll get to Stormy's specific variant in a minute, is always going to be no, right? And you want it to be no, right? Regardless of the other qualifications, elected officials have absolute immunity, right? If you're a member of the legislature in performing your legislative duties, if you're the president, you have absolute immunity in the stuff you do as president that is associated with being the president. You want it to be this way, because if there were any other standard, then Larry Klayman, instead of filing one suit a week, would be filing 500 per day, right? Every time every Democrat made a decision, he would file a lawsuit alleging that it's some sort of negligence. So, you know, you want to have a rule that says you can't sue legislators for being idiots. And again, like, that's right. Like, the remedy is don't fucking elect Matt Gaetz, right? Like, I'm sorry. And,
well, that's not an option, and you know it.
But it is, right? Like, at some point, right? I've been repeating the Dukakis 88 line without irony. At some point, like, now is a good time to engage, you know, your Uncle Franks and ask, like, come on, Uncle Frank, seriously, like, I know how much you love trolling the libs and, you know, owning the lefties and, like,
yeah, are you
how
better
much
off
you hate,
than you were you 4 years yeah. ago? Are yeah. you less if, dead than you were 4 years, or are you more dead than
if,
you were
4 years? And I've done it this confrontationally. I've been like, let's be honest, of all the people in the country that you could pick to handle our response to coronavirus, where would you pick Donald Trump? Let's be super honest about that. And like, you can't, right? Like, unless, you know, unless you're just going to lie, like, you can't pretend as though, you know, he's done a competent job. Now, on the specific aspect of the physician part, physician duty of care must be in the performance of their duties as a physician. So the fact that like Rand Paul, I think he's like a gynecologist or something, like, you know, I mean, plenty of these members of Congress have medical degrees. If they are not acting as your doctor, they do not have a medical duty of care towards you. So however ridiculous they're being, saying shit that's not true about coronavirus, like, you will not be able to sue them. They do not owe you a duty of care. They do have absolute immunity in the performance of their legislative duties. Sorry.
All right. Well, let's move on to our next question. As usual.
Also, peanut butter is delicious on celery. That's not just a little kid thing.
Totally.
Yeah. Peanut butter and celery is amazing. And like,
Yeah. Lots of stuff. Celery is worthless on its own, but with other stuff, like some cream cheese, that's a good one. You like that?
Yeah.
Cream cheese, celery, all kinds of
I like lots of things. You know, yeah. Oh, and Peter Goethe says, I asked in the main chat, I thought he had said before there was a way to send related cases to the same judge. That's true. Like, you can move, right? If I have a pending case and somebody files a related one, I can list that as a related case and move to have the cases consolidated. So, yes, you can do that. I don't think I said anything to the contrary on that, but... There you go. Clarification.
All right. Let's get to our next question from Housing is a Human Right. Donate at tenantresourcecenter.org. Tell me about confidentiality clauses in email signatures. I see them a lot in my work. Some are long paragraphs full of legalese. Information contained in this email is being sent to you after appropriate authorization or by legal exception, blah, 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 that stuff. Honestly, they all sound like those Facebook status privacy hoaxes you see Uncle Frank and Aunt Sharon posting periodically. But do they do anything? Are emails with those confidentiality clauses more private than other emails?
So, as is always the case, this is a great question, by the way. As is always the case, whenever you have a disclaimer, the disclaimer is not for the benefit of the consumer, or in this case, the recipient. The disclaimer is for the benefit of the person who made the disclaimer, right? Hmm. So... The reason that those clauses are being appended onto emails has to do with the contractual or underlying relationship between the parties to begin with, right? So, for example, I'm a government contractor. One of my clients is a government contractor, that actually are, and the government contract says, you receive information from us, you are required to treat that information in XYZ sort of way. But we know in practice that they don't always treat that information in XYZ kind of way. They may have 100 employees and their employees use email and whatever. So they stick the disclaimer on that in order to say, like, here's the best we're doing with our ability to maintain the requirements of the contract in terms of establishing control over the flow of information. Now, whether that would stand up, right? If the government terminates the contract and says you haven't been treating the confidential information in an appropriate manner, right? What you would do is you would use the standard and practice, right, to demonstrate, hey, look, this is best practices within this industry. Like, we're not in breach of the contract, or we're not independently negligent, because we've done the thing you would expect somebody in our position to do. So that's part of why, like, best practices become important. And it's one of the things that, like, I've tried to do, for example, with our terms and conditions on our guests on the show, right? Like, is to what little extent that I have control over best practices in the law of podcasting, which I have some influence on that, right? I'm trying to establish what those best practices are, because then that, as long as you abide by that, you have a pretty good argument that you've abided by a particular standard of care. So that's why they're doing it. They're trying to show you that they're abiding by, they're trying to show somebody else upstream that they are abiding by a particular standard of care.
Hmm. You know, I just realized, I don't get to do any sort of playoff beard this year. Both because my Sharks absolutely sucked and because, you know, sports stopped. But are we doing a quarantine beard? Are people doing is that a thing? I haven't seen it, but I feel like anyone who's a beard holder out there, I feel like I haven't shaved in quarantine. I think this is 2 weeks of quarantine beard. So maybe we get that going. What do you think? You gonna do quarantine beard? Is it buggy too much?
Yes, quarantine beard, obviously. And also, I think I'm going to wind up with a quarantine mullet before this is over.
Oh, so. Yeah. Now I know. You can't get a haircut.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Nope.
Hair, because you're so just the embodiment of 80s, it actually naturally grows in a mullet. Is that
Yeah, well, sure? It'll grow longer on top, but, you know, I can kind of feather that a little
bit. It'll grow business in the front, party in the back.
But, yeah, that absolutely. 100% business in the front, party in the back. So,
All right. Well, I'm let's looking get forward to our next question. Now that we've covered the hair questions. Jerry Falwell's Liberty is from FC. Sorry. Jerry Falwell's Liberty University reopened its doors against the recommendation of, well, everyone. Everyone's sane. Yeah. Could they be liable if students were to get sick or worse? What do you think?
Great question.
And they already have, by the way, I'm pretty sure.
They already have, people have already gotten sick. And I believe there has already been a lawsuit filed. I've got notes on that for this week's show. And I intend to do a deep dive, assuming that we can on this week's show. I will tell you that unlike the kind of hard no to the questions about legislators, like I think there is let me not make a definitive point, but I will say this. Suing Liberty University for reopening in flagrant violation of what are the obvious duties of care that they have to their students strikes me as a very plausible and not at all crazy lawsuit. And there are already there are templates for those kinds of lawsuits, right? Like one of the templates is if the campus isn't safe, right? Like, so there are already existing lawsuits that are kind of like this. I think we may be able to sue Liberty University, and there's nothing that's just, you know, you're on the side of the angels that day. So,
yeah, I don't know how you got the coffee shop you're working out of to look exactly like your home, but keep it down back there. And also, by the way,
if we could keep the volume down, I am recording a live Q&A.
And also, somebody asked if my recording studio doubles as a nursery, and exactly yes, it doubles as a nursery. There's nothing funny. It's just literally, yes, this is the room that we put the baby thing in. What the hell? I don't know. I don't have a brain anymore. Crib, yeah. He sleeps there. We're hoping to move him into Phoebe's room, but it's, you know, you don't want to. It's sleep is a touchy thing. I don't want anyone to get bad sleep because then it's even more hell for us. So I'm worried about.
Are Phoebe and Arlo on sort of roughly the same schedule or
roughly the same schedule? We're getting there. We're he's turning a year. You know, on tax day, which. Lydia jokes since the IRS delayed tax day that now his birthday is in July or whatever it was. But, yeah, he's turning 1 in 15 days here. So we're hoping by then to do it.
That's amazing.
All right. Let's see. This one I think maybe could be a jumping off point here. Oh. Jake, the fake Jake. You know, we've never heard from the real Jake, have we? It's only the fake Jake. That's fine. Real Jake's probably a Cognitive Dissonance fan or something.
hey, as long as real Jake is the one that likes Cog Disc better but gives us more money, I'm with him on that.
We'll take it. If civil courts close and dockets are not being seen, would a landlord be able to evict you? I saw a post from some anon quote unquote lawyer claiming this was a one weird trick to avoid paying rent while this whole thing is going on. Yeah, I know there's lots of components to the eviction rent stuff, but what do you say?
So in a state that prohibits self-help, okay, of which many states do, Maryland, Massachusetts, D.C., Virginia, all do, for example, what that means is to evict, you must get a court order authorizing the sheriff or other state or county employee to come out and sort of physically evict somebody from your premises. Then this may be one weird trick, but as is always the case with anything that's a one weird trick, it's going to be a terrible, terrible idea. And here's why. Okay. So let's say you're following the one weird trick and you're like, ha ha, don't have to pay my rent because there's no court, so you can't evict me. That's fine. There will be court again. And there will be court again sooner rather than later. because we are not going to go forward with not having a legal system for very long. Look, if we can get baseball back, we can get courts back. Okay. And one of the strongest things you have as a tenant is equity on your side, right? You're going to go into court and go, Your Honor, I know I'm 3 months behind on my rent. I got laid off. It was coronavirus. It was terrible. Here's what I've scraped together. Here's what I've already started to pay. I can probably get the rest by such and such a time. And you have some chance, depending on the judge and depending on the situation, of being able to kick the can down the road and having the judge be like, yeah, all right, well, I'm going to enter an order. You pay it by X date, or you're going to have to come back in and we're going to resume this process, right? So, like, that's typically the way in which eviction proceedings take place.
You get to go in court for eviction?
Oh, yeah, it's a small claims court, right? You have – guys, please keep it down. All right, sorry. Yes, live Q&A. I said that half an hour ago, but anyway. back to my answers. So you have that advantage of you're the person who's potentially being kicked out of their home, and the person you're opposite is a landlord. And, right, landlords are not super sympathetic witnesses. Because many of them, many landlords are perfectly good human beings doing a perfectly valuable service. Some are scumbags, and lots of them look like scumbags in court. So you get that advantage, as being a tenant. If you're obviously gaming the system because of coronavirus, you are giving up your major advantage right now. So don't do this. Don't use it as one weird trick. If you can't pay your rent because you can't pay your rent, write a letter to your landlord, pay what you can, try and call, try and work it out, right? Like, this is the time in which, on both sides of the equation, we need human beings to treat each other decently. And I can promise you that if that's what you do, that is something the court will be very interested in if and when court proceedings resume, and it'll help you sleep at night. Cause like your landlord's got kids to feed too, even if they're a scumbag. So
it's about creating a good paper trail. Maybe like it'll be a bad document if they're like, yeah, Your Honor, here's where he said, ha ha ha, there's no law, sucka. It's coronavirus. I'm not paying you. So that wouldn't be as good as, hey, lost my job. Can't pay, you know, I'll do my best kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because there will be a paper trail.
Absolutely.
All right. What was I going to say? Oh, speaking of bad landlords, there's the season 2 of Dirty Money on Netflix. And I haven't like vetted everything they talk about by any means, but they did do, I think, the first or second episode on Jared Kushner and his horrendous, you know, like human rights violation that is all the apartment complexes he owns.
Yeah.
Excuse me. It's horrible. That guy, God, I've never, Lydia wanted to punch him, and she is not an angry person. It's funny when she really gets mad. It really means like somebody was an asshole. Cause she was just like, oh my God, I want to punch this guy in his stupid, weird, ventriloquist dummy face that he has.
Lydia is like one of the kindest, sweetest people I know. So that says a lot. But I'll hold him down while Lydia punches him in the face. So
I think if we can just get a hold of his strings or whatever. Oh no, that's not a ventriloquist dummy. I guess, the thing that's in his back, right? So we can get a hold of that. That'll be the way. All right. Let's, go to another question here. This, I feel like this was solved, but just in case I want to still pose the question. It has 9 hearts there. So, I regret that I have but one grandparent to give for my country, says. It's pretty good. it would have been better if it was for the, you know, S&P 500. Or
right, yeah,
like.
Yeah.
you mentioned on Twitter that it is indeed super illegal for Mark Meadows to hold his current position simultaneously. What's the remedy? Now, we got them, you know, you and I got them to back down on that, right? But let's say he hadn't backed down and said he was going to resign. What would have been the remedy?
Yeah, and the remedy would have been to bring – there are a couple of different lawsuits that you could potentially bring. But one of the, like you could bring a writ of mandamus to require him to resign as your representative or resign as White House chief of staff, I suppose. You could petition for injunctive relief, and the way in which you would have standing would be if you were the member of a good government group, like our friends at Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, or you would bring it simultaneously with them and with somebody who's in Mark Meadows's district. But yes, like I think it's unlike, and we said this on the show, but I think it bears repeating. We cracked the joke of clear as Kushner, since we were just talking about how punchable Jared Kushner is, But this is really the difference between the president, the executive branch, violating laws, where it is tough to hold the president directly accountable for violating the law because of separation of powers issues, right? Because Congress passes the law. And so when the president says, well, I think I'm not violating this, right? Like you get sort of in that position of a court going, yeah, we're just not getting involved in a dispute between the legislature and the executive branch. But when the executive branch, when the president violates the Constitution, that's not a separation of powers issue, right? Like that's just a crime. And so, yeah, so that's what Mark Meadows did. He had to back away. He was very clearly, you know, now he was using the, like, it's my first day, excuse, and was like, well, I had the trainee badge on, so it was okay. I'm not really acting as chief of staff yet. And that was his excuse. But that's going to end like in a week and a half. So good. And then that seat will be vacant and we should win it back in the fall. So that's, everything's coming up Milhouse.
Yeah, I'm on a 14-day, you know, trial period. I don't know if I actually have the position, that kind of thing. Like he's trying to save.
Yeah, no, he did. He did the like. Yeah, I haven't actually taken the job yet. I'm just sort of, you know, getting trained, getting up
to speed, learning the computers, that kind of thing, getting the logins. Okay, let's go to our next question. This one, we'll see. I hope you have an answer because it could be funny. CU asks, New York has a famous legal case that every lawyer knows as legally declaring a place haunted, Stambovsky v. Ackley. Well, I haven't verified that, but we'll take it, I guess. Maybe you know about it. And it's what passes for humor in law school. What has D.C. and Maryland legally declared that can be used as a laugh line? Anything?
So I know of two legal documents that are what pass as humor. Well, there are three things that pass as humor, and one is distinctly not funny. And I just, since we have lawyers listening and law students, I just want to tell you, please don't do this. And it is the following: you will be working for a senior partner who will want to insert as a footnote the citation to Alice in Wonderland of, when I use a word, it means exactly what I want it to mean, nothing more, nothing less, as, you know, chuckling support. Like every white lawyer over the age of 50 thinks that this is the funniest thing on earth. It is not funny. It is not transgressive. It gets used all the time. It's terrible. Don't do that. So that was point one. Don't do that thing. The two other things that I know of that are actually kind of funny, neither of them are confined, neither of them are based out of Maryland or D.C. One was a lawsuit that I believe was in Pennsylvania that tried to sue the devil for negligence. And I don't even remember what the quote unquote merits of the underlying lawsuit were. You know, it was like, obviously some mentally ill person who, filed a lawsuit and sued the devil for, you know, doing all sorts of bad things. And the court dismissed it for lack of service of process and was like, well, look, you can't prove that you've given a copy of this lawsuit to the devil. So we're not going to entertain it.
So, we had something like that. When did that come up? There was something about that when suing God or something or something. What was that? Yeah, a long time ago. But yeah,
so that's one. That's one. And the other one is football related. And it was, gosh, maybe it was the old Cleveland Browns, like general counsel for the Cleveland Browns. So the lawyer had sent out a like cease and desist letter for like. I don't remember the underlying complaint, but it was like, it was something related to football, and you know, and it was some like obviously trivial and ridiculous complaint, and the response back was, you know, it was signed, you know, like Bob Smith, general counsel, the Cleveland Browns or whatever. I'm totally ruining all the details of this. But hey, this is what happens when we do the Q&A's live. You get Law Dog in the background and you get none of the details.
You've had a little too much green cup there, Andrew.
I'm hammered
on the
green. 100% water. Otherwise, I'd be horizontal. So the response back was it was just like a one line. Dear Mr. Smith, I think you should know that someone has apparently broken into your office, stolen your stationery, and is using it to write stupid letters.
That's pretty good.
Which
I like that.
I have wanted to break that one out before.
Yeah.
So that's
a rare lawyer humor that actually just barely creeped into actual humor. Actually funny. Look, that's rarely
usually,
happens.
It's rare for that to happen, but actually did happen.
No, that's good.
Case,
all right, so, let's go to our next question here. And this may be another one where you say, oh, we're going to do a deep dive because, holy shit, this is just downright insane what's happening. It is an outrage what's happening right now. But Legally Golden, Speaker of the Doghouse, asks, she must be an Air Bud title, I think. Could some states sue Trump, the Trump admin, for favoring giving aid to other states that stroke his ego? It seems to me that such administrative action would be both arbitrary and capricious and an abuse of discretion. Would the states have standing, or would this be some political question malarkey? Yeah. And I mean, this is just the news in today was that he was favoring states like Florida that he needs to win the general election. I mean, that is, and not only that, this was the exact hypothetical posed during the impeachment proceedings, right? Where I forget who it was, but one of the witnesses was like, hey, could you imagine this is the horrible precedent we're setting that Trump could say, well, I'll give you this aid if you're nice to me. And then lo and behold, that's exactly what's happening.
It's almost as if failing to impeach a president for having contempt for the law would have the predictable consequences of emboldening that behavior. Shocking. I love this question, and here's the answer is contained within the predicate of the question. So, yes, you could sue the president for that. Yes, it would be under the Administrative Procedure Act, and the standard there is you have to prove that it is arbitrary and capricious. In other words, the administrative action is entitled to extreme deference. But in a case like, and again, Florida, you may be able to concoct a reason after the fact, right? You may be able to say, well, look, like the high risk population in Florida is so much higher than anywhere else. That's why they needed, you know, 10 times more money per capita. But like the not giving money to goddamn New York, you know, the most densely populated place in the United
Being
States.
Being hit the hardest, by the way.
Yeah,
too.
Right. Exactly. Well, and for that reason, right? Like, because it's super hard to contain a virus when you have 10 million people packed into like 5 square miles. So The standard of proof is going to be really, really high. The standard for proving the claim under the APA is going to be really, really high. But you may be able to do it if it continues to be as egregious as it has been portrayed in these first couple of weeks, right? And again, look, like, you know, we don't entirely know how it's going to shake out. But yes, so I said earlier, you can't sue Trump for the stupid shit he says. That's true. You can sue him for some of the stupid shit he does. And believe me, like, if there is no rational basis for withholding aid from a particular state, there will be lawsuits. And again, high burden, but not impossible.
You know, here's this question is a little abstract, but I kind of like it. I'm curious what your take will be. Starlight Glimmer Did Nothing Wrong asks, kooky
what
question.
Is what is that a reference to? Do we know?
I don't know. Oh. If is that outside my? Wow, somebody's doing some powerful construction outside my house or something. Sorry for the noise. If courts stopped observing 13th century Saxony precedent, i.e. nothing pre-constitution or from outside the U.S., would the law still be able to function, or is the assumption that we'd maintain older legal philosophies too fundamental to the system? Weird abstract question, but I really like it. What do you think?
That is a fantastic question and a tremendous portion of state law is based on pre-existing common law. Now, so there are two ways to answer the question. Number one, if we just said, okay, we're not going to use anything that was common law as a basis going forward, right? The question would then be, well, what about existing court decisions that themselves are based on common law, right? Like, so if you apply like a kind of fruit of the poisonous tree, and everything that was ever based on common law is gotten rid of, then yeah, you're in a lot of trouble. Let me give you a real specific real world example. Right now, the powers that governors are exercising to keep people at home from using the highways, from going to work, to close down businesses, what we talked about as the plenary police power, that is not spelled out in statutory law in the states. That is leftover sovereign 13th century Saxony, the king can tell his peasants like to quarantine stuff. So that's just one example, but it's a pretty important example. It would be immensely disruptive to the system to get rid of.
Would you just have to write in some stuff, you know, real quick, try to get that the fundamentals back in there somehow?
Yep.
All right. Well, we definitely have to go to Teresa Gomez's question.
All right. It's just obligatory. By the way, I'm going to provide. I'm going to link it in the chat here. But I found the letter from the general counsel for the Cleveland Stadium. And the exact text is, attached is a letter we received on November 19th, 1974. I feel you should be aware that some asshole is signing your name to stupid letters. Very truly yours, James N. Bailey, General Counsel, Cleveland
that's
Stadium
Corporation.
That's pretty
good. I like it.
So, yeah, that's a great one. Anyway. I was merely building up suspense for Teresa Gomez's question.
Boy, so. Someone has, yeah, I think my neighbor has an air compressor going right on the other side of this wall. Sorry, I can't really yell, hey, I'm doing a kid. It's not going to work. my neighbor's not my kid, so I can't control it. All right. Teresa Gomez, if you all were on a tour of Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, in what horrible yet ironic way would you be killed? I don't know that any of those kids were killed, but maybe. No, I would have been the boring
Augustus
good
Gloop.
Kid.
Augustus Gloop was definitely killed, right? Like,
yeah, sure. I think, yeah, in the darker version, they were all killed. But I would have been the boring.
The weird Johnny Depp one? That was odd. That was so crazy. Anyway, sorry.
It was okay. I just didn't really like the Oompa Loompas all being the same guy. It was kind of, I didn't like it for some reason. Yeah. Anyway. So, boring answer. I think I would have followed the rules. And what always bothered me about that movie as a rules-following kid, for the most part, was they're following all the rules. They're being good until they get to the fucking fizzy lifting drinks. And then all of a sudden, they go to town on the fizzy lifting drinks.
Yep.
And it's like, where did that come from? That seems out of character. But I guess they had to for the plot.
That 100% bothered me as a kid. It was just like, wait, everybody else breaks the rules.
And then in the end, he's like, but Charlie, you did it. You're still great, even though you totally broke the rules. You know what I mean? I guess it's just because he didn't sell the everlasting gobstopper. Is that all? Yeah. The only test was, you won't sell my IP?
Well, and I guess, like, you were supposed to think that because the other people were so overwhelmed by their, like, personality flaw, right? Like, that they would have presumably sold the gobstopper. I don't know. It bothered me as a kid a lot, and it still bothers me now. So,
I was a rule-following kid until I got to a certain age and I realized the rules are all made up and stupid, and then I decided what rules I would follow, what ones I wouldn't. There's lots of good rules.
Then I did a law podcast.
Yeah, I totally follow the good ones. No, I mean arbitrary bullshit rule, not the law. The law is only like 80% arbitrary bullshit rules. Other rules that just everyday people come up with for no reason drive me nuts. But living in America, you know, when I traveled to Europe, you know, like, they don't have all these stupid rules about alcohol and what you can and can't do this. You know what I mean, Andrew? Hey, you're doing something else. Anyway, all right, we'll go to the next question.
No! I was totally listening, asshole.
That's fine. hold on, I'm defending myself
against charges of being a Loompaist. They don't all look the same, and I was saying, that was Thomas who said that, not me. So,
well, they were literally the same that movie. So,
in the terrible, or you're saying not terrible, but I'm going to say terrible.
I don't think it was terrible, but I, you know.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Fine. But anyway,
I love the original though. That's great. Yeah. Okay, this I think I this would have is been a...
mine. I would have been parsing out the legal script at the end, right? Like that. That's obviously how I would have died. Is that?
Yeah, that could be a lot of awful movies. We'll have to zoom in on that. Okay, lightning round. And first one, I'm going to scroll to the bottom, but first I'm going to go to this question because I think you can answer this pretty quickly. Gary Myers asks, if I call customer service and the robot voice tells me that the call may be recorded, do I have implicit permission to record the call myself?
No.
Wow. Really?
Really? Yeah. That's why those say this call may be recorded, right? Because if they say this call is recorded and it's a one-party consent state, then that could be construed as – that could arguably be construed as – prospectively granting you consent to record the call, but they're not. So if you want to record, you've got to ask specifically.
Wow. Well, there you have it. Well, okay, but is the – now, sorry, I'm slowing down your lightning. This is my fault. I take responsibility. Is the problem in, like, doing something with the recording? Can you just record it, and then if you never do anything with it, it doesn't matter? It's pretty much, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
For the most part. All
right. Right. Because again, no, and let's, I love the fact that you asked the question and you asked it that way. Because I don't think you would have asked that question 3 years ago before we started the show. Right. Like I feel like that's a very OA thing to ask, right? Like, what does the law say? But equally important to what the law says is what happens to you when you break it. So, yeah, I mean, particularly when you're talking from a civil context, right? Nobody's going to arrest you for doing it. So then the question is, what harm have you done to someone by recording them without their consent? And almost always the harm is because they've said a thing that you want to use some other way. And that's when it comes into.
But what? So then if I was being like an asshole just for fun, would I, when the robot says that and then the other person comes on, would I be like, hi, this call may be recorded just for my for fun, for me, for later, for my records. And then they'd be like, okay. And then
yeah, you absolutely could do that. You could put them on notice. You could say, like, hey, customer service, I just want to put you on notice that as part of my regular policy,
I like to review my customer service calls as a customer and, you know, rate my performance, see if I did a good job. All right, for real lightning round, though, this one, the bottom question, I love this. Stormy Decisis, why are coupons worth 1/20th of a cent? Is it some kind of contract law thing? Got anything for us on that?
Yeah, it's a contract law thing. So for a contract to be legally binding, you must have an offer. You must have acceptance of the precise terms of the offer, and there must be consideration. If it were not assigned a legal value, then there would be no consideration, and the contract would be unenforceable.
Nice. Okay. Well, that's not really a lightning round question. Hold on. The lightning round is also a challenge for me, by the way. I got to listen to you, your great answers, and prepare the next question. Let's hope this one's good. I haven't had time to really read through it. Okay. Because, of course, some will never miss a chance to be dastardly, Ohio is talking about delaying abortions due to the shelter-in-place order. This could be another deep dive, because I think Texas was trying to do that too, and then they got stayed, maybe. Can this order have the power to prevent exercise of rights and liberties guaranteed by the Supreme Court and the Constitution? For example, if abortions could be delayed, what about free speech?
Yeah, there will be at least it's scheduled to be a deep dive on the show. There already is at least a lawsuit challenging, and I think an injunction that went down in Texas with respect to a similar order. So yes, as we said at the beginning, even though your governor has plenary police powers, the Constitution still exists even when you're in lockdown. And so the way in which that gets resolved can be tricky. So, for example, the difference between free speech and abortion is you can say to somebody like, hey, let's have your concert in 3 months. Saying, hey, why don't you have your abortion in 3 months?
Yeah.
May not be valid. Right. And so I think that we actually have really good grounds to think that a court will enjoin these kinds of orders prohibiting abortion as infringing on a fundamental right that cannot be infringed even in a medical emergency. Because, again, it's not the kind of thing that can be rescheduled. So,
all right. Lightning question number, I think, 3. This is good. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. I love 4. This.
4.
You might be right. There we go. There's only one catch, asks. Recently on his podcast, George Papadopoulos claimed that Mueller prosecutors wouldn't allow him to hire the law firm of his choosing, Joseph E. Schmitz, PLLC, to defend him. Is there any way possible that that could be true? What are you doing listening to George Papadopoulos' podcast?
Yeah, that's the
first thing I need to ask. Wow, I can't believe you did that. What the hell is this, Andrew? Any idea?
So a couple of things while I filibuster, because I don't know anything about this. I assume there's only one catch is the Catch-22 reference, which I wholeheartedly support. The classic American novel and, in my view, the greatest masterpiece of American
Did you
literature.
Watch the series that
I watched
was on
the
Amazon?
Series.
It was good. I loved it.
I enjoyed the series a lot.
Yeah. Really good.
And I love George Clooney as Lieutenant Shishkov was just a genius. So now. Everything George Papadopoulos says is QAnon level right wing propaganda piece of shit nonsense. Here are some. Number one, it's possible that this is just made up, right? Other things that might be possible. The person he claims is a lawyer might not have been admitted in the court.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You know, in which Papadop was being tried, the other thing is you've got this Papadopoulos signed a plea deal anyway, totally weird. So number one, lawyer might not have been admitted. Number two, lawyer might be undergoing disciplinary charges. Number three, Papadop might have hired somebody else.
I like it.
Yeah. Might have hired somebody else and then as a delaying tactic said, oh, hey, I want to fire this guy and hire this other guy and this and that. And the court might have just been like, look, dude, you signed the fucking plea agreement. Like, we're not holding this up anymore. Just no. So those are the – and again, keeping in mind, he may just be lying. That's what these people do. I don't know anything about the facts of this. But I suppose if there's any basis in fact whatsoever, I would think it would fall into one of those three categories. Right. I will take a look because I'm intrigued now.
So. One of those actual reasons that it would make sense. Yeah. All right. Well, that's our time. You know what? But the audience has been so good. Why don't we just do one last lightning round question?
Of course.
Here it is. Clever Patreon names are a waste of perfectly good cleverness. Hey, I just agree. Unrelated to COVID-19, if there's a car alarm going off all night in your neighborhood, when does it become legal to murder the owner of said car? Asking for a friend. Okay, that's obviously a stretch, but can you murder the car? At what point can you murder the car? Because, oh my God, I'm if it weren't for the fact that it's 6 p.m. and totally reasonable time for my neighbor to be doing whatever the hell he's doing with an air compressor right now, I'd be pretty pissed. Let's say it was 3 a.m. and he was air compressing away. Well, what's my recourse? Call the cops that are not going to do anything?
Yes. Right. Mm. you have no recourse for any of that. Real question to you, though. Like, I have not noticed a car alarm in the past like, 2 weeks. Have you? Like,
yeah. I don't have them near me.
This is a quarantining
usually.
Side effect. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. No, huh? I haven't heard a car alarm in a while. Interesting.
Despite calling us racists, Crystal Lady on the Farm asks, if you hire a lawyer who is undergoing discipline, are they supposed to tell you? yes. Yes. Yes, they should.
What if they're undergoing discipline for not telling that they were undergoing discipline? That's going to be tough.
Yeah. They should disclose that to you. So don't hire Larry Klayman. So.
Yeah. All right, folks. Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate having you here live. It's a lot of fun interacting with the chat. We read all the chat, you know, even when you call us racist or something, whatever you were referring to for our Oompa Loompa hatred or something. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you on Friday's episode. I'm excited for the deep dives that Andrew has in store for us. So
and we're gonna have fun guests on for Tuesday's show. Ooh. So please do say this in the show, but in the comments before you leave. Did you like today's show? Like talk to me about
The Happy News show, not the Q&A. Yeah.
I mean the actual show that went up today. Because I am really, you know, Thomas and I talk about this a lot, but like we are really cognizant of the fact that we're trying to balance between telling you what's going on in the world. Lots of terrible shit is going on in the world. And I know people are particularly right now struggling and mental health is really, really important. And so we wanted to try and make sure that everything was, it wasn't that everything was always horrible all the time and it'll never get good again. So please let us know what you think about that. And as you're thinking about, you know, what you're looking for, what we can do to kind of help, be there in these dark times, it's really important to us. We know you guys are stuck at home. We're stuck at home. It's why we're doing the additional, you know, hangouts and, Thomas and I are going to be on the puzzle hangout on Saturday night. So, you know, lots of people we are trying to just kind of do what we can, because we know it's a tough time. So, let us know how we're doing. Let us know what else we can do.
All right. Thanks, folks. Take care. Stay safe out there. Thank you to all our essential workers that watch and listen. We love you. We hope you stay safe. Wash your hands. And we will see you folks next time.
Bye-bye.